Scripture again. Our scripture today is taken from James chapter 4, verse 14. James 4:14 says, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." I'll turn it over now to Jeff.
Would help if I unmuted my mic. Our sermon title today is Your Bucket List. Do you have a bucket list? Everyone seems to have one these days. That is a list of things they want to do, places they want to go, or things they want to achieve before they kick the bucket. What sort of things are on your bucket list? I've heard people say they wanted to visit Australia or some other exotic country. I've heard people say they wanted to go to the Super Bowl or another major sporting event. I've heard people say they wanted to go to a particular stadium or ballpark for a game. As far as activities, I've heard skydiving or bungee jumping, which I don't know why you would want to jump out of a perfectly good airplane, but that's me. Some may want to get their master's degree or doctorate. Personally, I do have a couple things on my bucket list. They actually have to do with golf. I would love to attend the Masters golf tournament sometime or play a round of golf at St. Andrews in Scotland. But what is on your bucket list? Stanford University actually did a study on bucket lists. They surveyed 3,056 people and found that 91% of them had bucket lists. The top six categories listed were travel, accomplishing personal goals, a life milestone, quality time with family, financial stability, and doing a daring activity. Doing a little research myself on Google, I found lots of top bucket list items. Like we've already discussed, most revolved around travel, personal or career goals, finances, or activities. I started researching this because I've had a thought going through my head recently. With all the current events around the world, including the COVID-19, I really believe we are approaching the end of time here on this earth. But tomorrow is not promised to any of us. The end can come abruptly at any time. As Dave read our scripture, James 4:14 says, "Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." People die in car accidents every day or for other various reasons. So we truly do not know what tomorrow holds. So this made me think. If I were to find out today that I have one day to live or a very short time, how would I live? What would I do? What would my bucket list look like? We know the bucket list of someone of the world would consist of the things we discussed a minute ago. Trips, exciting activities, maybe even things I cannot repeat here this morning. But you know what? That's kind of sad. As I was researching this, I found list after list of these top bucket list items. Where on the list do you think the following were listed? Giving your heart to Jesus. Forgiving someone. Or witnessing for Jesus. Where do you think they landed on the list? They didn't. That's right. There was, in fact, nothing religious on any of the lists I found. One of the lists had over 2,000 items on it. No religion. No mention of Jesus. The closest thing there was to religion was helping someone or helping a charity. Now, that's not totally shocking, but sad to say the least. By the end of the sermon today, I'm hoping and praying that you want to add these new items to your bucket list. I have quite a few friends and some family members who aren't religious at all. I'm hoping some are watching today. I'm sure some of them have a bucket list like we looked at previously. Some of my Christian friends' bucket lists may look the same. But please hear me out today. Many people in this world live like and believe that life as it is on this earth is all there is to live for. No wonder so many people suffer from depression. To believe that there is nothing better to live for than worldly possessions, trips, or any earthly treasure would make me depressed. Mark 8:36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Think of it this way. I'm going to give you two scenarios. Which of these would you prefer? Scenario number one, you live life believing in a higher power, that there is eternal life available to you, only to die and nothing happens. You're just dead. Turns out this life is all there is. Okay, scenario number two, you live life like there is no higher power and no chance at eternal life, only to find out that you were wrong. And Jesus comes in the clouds of glory to take his faithful followers home. You have a lot more to possibly lose in one of these scenarios. Do you see it? I'm going to ask you a question that you may have never been asked. Is heaven and eternal life for you? Before you decide, let's take a look at what's in store after Jesus comes, and you can decide for yourself. First, let me say that the depictions of heaven by Hollywood are way off. You wouldn't be sitting on a cloud strumming a harp for eternity. I could see why that wouldn't seem appealing to a lot of people. In Revelation 20, the chapter 20 says the following about the topic. We will spend 1,000 years in heaven with God, and we will reign with him for these 1,000 years on his throne. And after the 1,000 years, a new city, the New Jerusalem, will descend from heaven to the earth made new, where we will live for eternity. Yes, life that never ends. We begin to see in Revelation 21 what the New Jerusalem and the New Earth will look like. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne, saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will freely I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. So he took me in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. When he measured it, he found it was a square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on foundation stones, inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl, and the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So to recap, the earth and the New Jerusalem are perfect, the most beautiful sight you have ever seen in your life. Nothing on earth can compare to what it will look like. Is it on your bucket list to visit the most beautiful places on earth? Well, they look nothing like what the earth made new will look like. Is good health on your bucket list? There will be no more pain, suffering, or sorrow. No more dying. No more sickness. No more viruses like the coronavirus. No more cancer. There will be no more sin, no crime. Everyone and everything will be absolutely perfect, just as God the Creator is perfect. Is traveling on your bucket list? You will have the ability to travel anywhere on earth and in the universe you want to go, anytime you want to go. Visiting big, exciting cities on your bucket list? The New Jerusalem will be 1,400 miles wide, long, and high. It will be made of gold. It will contain precious stones. Exciting enough for you? Is exciting activities on your bucket list? How about walking amongst the lions, tigers, wolves, or any other animal you can think of, with them acting like your friendly pet instead of a wild animal? How about the ability to fly? I'm not talking about on an airline. You will be able to fly. There is so much more in store for us than this, just beyond your wildest dreams. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." I hope this brief look at what the future holds has piqued your interest in a better life, a life that is perfect because our Heavenly Father is perfect. His love for us is unlike any love we are familiar with, which is why he sent his Son Jesus to this world to die for our sins. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible says it all. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now you may be someone who has said in the past, "God doesn't care about my pain," or "God doesn't care or doesn't seem to understand the pain that I'm going through." God sacrificed his only Son in the worst agonizing death possible because of our sins, because he loves us so much that he wants to spend eternity with us. He understands your pain. He just asks us to hang on a little longer, and he will make it all right again. You may be someone who has said in the past, "God doesn't exist, or bad things wouldn't happen to good people." God loves us all so much that he gave us freedom of choice in hopes that we would truly love him back. If we were all robots programmed to do what God wants us to do, would we be happy? And would we truly love him? God is not the source of evil in the world. It is time for people to stop blaming God for what Satan does to people. You may be saying, "It's too late for me. God would never forgive me for what I've done." You couldn't be more wrong. God and all of heaven would be rejoicing if you and you alone gave your heart to him today. That's how important you are to him. And it's not too late. People have given their hearts to Jesus on their deathbed. It is not too late for you. So the question is, what things should we add to our bucket list to ensure that we can have an eternal bucket list? Number one, be sure of your salvation. Give your heart to Jesus and get right with God. Please don't take my word for it. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." John 14:6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." 1 John 5:11-13. "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Isaiah 55:6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. John 1, 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The last one, Revelation 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart today, and he's knocking. He wants you to let him in to your heart. All you need to do is say a simple prayer to him. Pray to Jesus and tell him you recognize that you are a sinner, but that he died so that you could be saved from your sins. Tell him you accept him today as your personal Savior. Ask forgiveness for your sins and ask that he help you to learn to live for him from this point forward. You know, there's this sinful guy in the Bible by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a lost soul. He was a sinner. He was blind spiritually. He couldn't see Jesus. But Jesus could see him. Zacchaeus had a life transformation. He went from a sinful, dishonest tax collector to a man willing to restore fourfold the amount he had stolen through dishonesty. Zacchaeus wanted to be right with God. Jesus knocked at the door of his heart, and Zacchaeus let him in. Won't you do that today? Open the door of your heart to Jesus. He longs to be a part of your life. And now that you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and asked for forgiveness and gotten right with God, you can add the second thing to your bucket list. Ask forgiveness of people you have wronged, and forgive people you have refused to forgive to this point. Again, let's not go on my word. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Matthew 6:14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Luke 6:37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And our last verse. Matthew 18:21 and 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So the Bible makes it pretty clear that God expects us to ask each other for forgiveness and to forgive those who've wronged us. Jesus says 70 times seven. That's a lot of forgiveness. It is also very clear the price for unforgiveness as well. Basically, God is a forgiving God, and as followers of Him, we should be following His example. God is a God of love and relationships. Relationships with His children, us, but also our relationships with each other. Forgiveness goes a long way toward mending relationships that may be broken. Now, if we do this, the third new thing on our bucket list will be much easier to accomplish. Number three would be a witness to someone about Jesus and what He has done to change your life. Now that you've asked Jesus into your heart, you've gotten right with God and asked for forgiveness, you've asked those you've wronged for forgiveness and forgiven those who've wronged you, people are going to see a drastic change for the better in your life. They will see the change in you and wonder what happened to you. Imagine what a witness for Christ you can be when people start seeing that change in you. Without forgiveness, your effectiveness as a witness goes out the window. Can you think of someone right now who is not a Christian? What would you have to be afraid of in witnessing to them if you already know them? Again, let's not take my word for it. Let's go to the Bible. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Joel 3:14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. James 5:20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Finally, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Think of it this way. If you won some grand prize, wouldn't you tell someone about it? Come on, you know you'd be dying to tell someone. Well, brothers and sisters, we have won the ultimate prize. The biggest prize of all. Because of the grace of God and His love for us, He is offering us eternal life. A life that our feeble, worldly minds cannot comprehend. The burning question is this: how will you live out the remaining days you have on this earth? Is this earth all you want to live for? Or do you want to reach for something greater? Do you want to live a short time? Or do you want to live forever? There's a Matthew West song on an album that I have that I thought went perfectly with this. It's called The Man Who Needed Grace. It goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a man who needed grace, with a trail of bad decisions left behind him. He had a heart full of guilt, and a head hung in shame, feeling like forgiveness could never find him. But then a light broke through the dark, and the voice he heard said, who you were. Well, that's not who you are anymore. It's not the end. No, this is just where second chances begin. Oh, now I'm forever changed. And until my days are done, I'll be telling everyone about the God who loved the man who needed grace. Now the man who needed grace still knows how to make a mess. There's never been a day that found me perfect. All the grace just keeps on showing me exactly what it is, a gift that goes to those who don't deserve it. And nothing I could ever do compares to what's been done for me. I'm free and all because of you. My debt is paid, my sins are gone, and my soul can't stop singing this victorious song. Oh, now I'm forever changed. And until my days are done, I'll be telling everyone about the God who loved the man who needed grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Let all the saints and sinners sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Let all the saints and sinners sing. Oh, now I'm forever changed. And until my days are done, I'll be telling everyone about the God who loved the man who needed grace. Are you a brother or sister in need of grace today? I know I am. God loves you so much that he freely gives you grace and mercy. He showed how much he loves you by sending his only son to die a torturous death in your place. You and I should have been hanging on that cross, but Jesus took our place. Why? Because God loves us and wants to spend eternity with us. Today I hope your bucket list looks a lot different than it did before. I pray your bucket list points to eternity. God wants you there. But until our days are done, we'll be telling everyone about the God who loved a brother or sister who needed grace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to give our hearts to you this morning. I'm praying that there's someone out there who has been turning his back to you, that has changed his mind and given his heart to you. Lord, cleanse us of our sins, and we look forward to the day when you will come and take us home, and we can live with you for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining us today, and God bless.